Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an old maxim which states, pride goeth before the fall. I'm sure you all know that one. It's true in sports. It's true in relationships. It's true on Wall Street and Main Street and in Hollywood too. Pride leads to arrogance, which leads to overconfidence, which leads to laziness, which results usually in a fall. The moment you quit striving and working and practicing because you think that you've got it all in the bag is the moment that someone else steps up and takes what you had reasoned would always be yours. And so it is that Israel had become primed for a fall. They had forgotten, to a large degree, their past captivity in Egypt, and now were reveling in their strength and their wealth. At the time of Amos's prophecy, Israel was experiencing a time of political security and economic prosperity that they had not experienced nor seen since the days of King Solomon. And thus the people thought that they must certainly be in God's good graces, which of course led to them becoming prideful, which led to arrogance, which led to spiritual laziness and apathy, which led to moral and religious corruption, which is why God sent them the prophet Amos. He was sent to the people to pronounce to them God's judgment on them because they had forgotten God and they had forsaken his covenant. Amos was to tell them that there was going to be a price to pay for their apostasy. So Amos warned the people that God was going to punish them by letting them be destroyed by a foreign power. And he confirmed his warning by stating in verse 7 of our text today these very powerful, frightening words. He says, "The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done." That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? To be told that God is never going to forget anything that we've ever done. Back when I was a seminary student, I had the opportunity in my seminary years to go to the town where I had been raised and to preach in that congregation where I was born and baptized. And I was excited about that opportunity, but I hoped to God that those folks had forgotten most, if not all, of the things that I had done as a child. I'm not sure I could have faced them that day as their preacher if they could remember, if they had not forgotten my many childhood antics and actions and sins. But thank God most of those people had long since forgotten the sins of my youth, which allowed me to stand in the pulpit that day and to move forward and to preach to them with a clean slate. But how do you move forward in your life with a clean slate when the slate is never wiped clean? You can't. And thus God's words to Israel through the prophet Amos were words of strictest law. There would be a price to pay for their arrogance and their selfishness and their idolatry. And God would not forget any of their sins, from the greatest of them all the way down to the least of them. And what he was saying to them was they were going to pay for them all. And so would we, were it not for Jesus. See, there's only one thing that stands between us and God's condemnation. That condemnation that Amos spoke to the people of Israel. And that one thing is the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Were it not for his sacrifice on the cross, God would remember and he would hold us accountable for everything we have ever done. But Jesus took all of that punishment upon himself. He bore God's wrath for us so that we might now be covered by God's grace. And in that grace, God chooses not to remember our sins, but rather he looks always and only at us through the eyes of the cross. He looks at us as those who have been washed clean of all of our sins, and thus as those whose chalkboards of sins have been totally erased and wiped clean. In contrast to Amos's message of judgment, that God would never forget anything they had done, the prophet Jeremiah would later speak a message of God's grace, stating that in his love and in his mercy, he would remember their sins no more. I'd like to read you from Prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses I'm sure you're familiar with. The prophet writes, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." That time that Jeremiah prophesied about has come. And that covenant was established, and it was signed, and it was sealed with the blood of Jesus. Each time that we come to the sacrament of Holy Communion, as we will today, and we, in this sacrament, receive the benefits of that new covenant, which are the benefits of forgiveness and life and salvation. And it's because of this new covenant that God forgives our wickedness and that he remembers our sins no more. It's not that God has suddenly become absent-minded And yeah, somehow he's just forgotten all the things that we've done. But in his grace and in his mercy, on account of the sacrifice of Jesus, God chooses not to remember our sins. Our forgiveness is a conscious act of God's gracious will applied to us through our baptism into his family of faith. Since we have been so saved and we have been so forgiven, what type of people are we now to be? Peter says that we ought to live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day of Christ's return. And thus, in contrast to the Israelites whom God condemned for their sins of idolatry and gluttony and selfishness, He calls us to live out the grace that he has shown us by being a people who are marked by faithfulness and generosity and mercy. A people who are as forgiving to others as God has been forgiving to us. A people who are obedient to God and who walk in the path of his righteousness. May we live such lives as God's covenant people for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.